You are listening to the CMC Podcast. Join us each week for messages designed to equip, inspire, and motivate. And now for today's message from Pastor Paul Kern.
Well, I do have an important message that God has laid on my heart, and I think it's something that's really, really vital for us for this time of the year especially. But before I do, ladies, the women in the house, I have some tips for you. Some tips. As a matter of fact, I have five tips, ladies. Are y'all ready? They're good. They're good tips, okay? I promise. So here's number one. Number one, it's important that a man helps you around the house and has a job. Told you. Number two, it's important that a man makes you laugh, right? It's very important. My wife laughs at me all the time. She's not laughing for me. She's laughing at me. So it's a little different, but we laugh. Number three, it's important to find a man that you can count on and doesn't lie to you, right? Very important. Number four, it's important to have a man that loves you and spoils you. Yes. And lastly, this is probably the most important out of all of these. It's important that these four men don't know each other. Very important. Cannot know each other. You got to keep them all separate, right? All separate. All right, ladies, I told you, it's good advice. Good advice for you. One of the lessons that I was taught, and it was a very important lesson that I was taught, probably the most important lesson that I was taught when I first began to follow the Lord, was about forgiveness, the art of forgiveness. Such an important lesson to learn as a Christian and just as an individual, as a person, so much. Because every day we all have an opportunity to be offended. Almost daily it happens. Hurts, wounds, wrongs suffered. You know, they're all a part of being a human. We all experience these things. And I have no doubt that probably the single most thing that prevents people from living the blessed life, the full life that God wants them to live, is unforgiveness. You know, forgiveness was very important to Jesus. Jesus talked a lot about it. He taught a lot about it in the scripture. As a matter of fact, he took it very seriously as Jesus commands us to forgive. See, for Jesus, forgiveness wasn't just a nice option that you added to your life, or maybe it's a good idea that you ought to consider. No, Jesus says it's a command. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 15, Jesus said, "But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father in heaven will not forgive your sins." Wow. It's big. It's important. And you may say, well, Paul, it's hard enough to give the small things, but how do I forgive the big things in life, the big hurtful injustices of my life? You know, like a friend betrays your trust. I mean, that's hard. It's hard when a close friend, a good friend, betrays your trust, or a mate wounds you deeply by something that they say or how they treat you. A boss mistreats you, maybe even lays you off, and you felt like that was very unjustified in what he did. Or someone that you really looked up to, maybe somebody that you really aspired to be, they disappointed you, they let you down. One of your children disrespects you. They don't treat you and appreciate you the way that they should. You know, these are hard issues to overcome, but the good news is we don't have to do it alone. Jesus said that you can do all things, help me, through Christ who gives you strength. See, Jesus didn't put us here on this earth and just leave us to fend for ourselves. No, like Tori said this morning, he's Emmanuel. He's God with us. He's our ever-present help in times of trouble. I think it's very important to remember that the same power that raised the body of Jesus Christ from the dead, that resurrection power dwells inside of you. Now, if that kind of power is available to us, clearly, as the scripture says, we can do all things through Christ who gives us our strength. It's hard to forgive people when they've wronged us, but oftentimes, the hardest person to forgive is yourself. Mistakes that we've made, things that we've done wrong, where we've missed the mark. You know, Jesus said when he left the earth, he says, "I'm not going to leave you alone. I'm going to give you a helper He's the Holy Spirit. He's going to be with you wherever you go. And whatever you face, he'll be right there beside you to help you win the victory over unforgiveness. Maybe you've been in a situation here as you're listening today, and you've not been able to forgive yourself. Maybe you don't really have an issue with other people. Maybe you're really good in that area. But maybe in your own personal life, you struggle with forgiving yourself. You can't forgive yourself for a divorce. You can't forgive yourself for mistakes that you feel like you made raising your kids. You struggle to forgive yourself from some sin that you battle in your life, some addiction, some vice, some habit that you just can't seem to gain victory and traction in your life. You know, I was watching a commercial here recently. It was about a water filter. You know, this time of the year, they have all kinds of commercials that pop up in your feed and online, right? Because they're trying to sell you things for Christmas. But it was very interesting. This water filter that you hooked up underneath your sink, it would filter out 99% of contaminants out of your water. It made your water very clean and pure and safe to drink. So they had these people gathered around this commercial, and they set two glasses up on a counter. And in the one glass was the glass that had the clear, pure water that was filtered. It was 99% pure. It was very safe for you to drink. In the other glass, it was just tap water right out of the sink. And they said, now, there's lead in this water, but it's within the legal limits. It's safe for you to drink. And they asked the people to pick which one that they wanted to drink. And I mean, every single person picked the water that was 99% pure. And they asked him, why didn't you drink the water with the lead in it, even though it's within legal limits? And they said, well, it may be within legal limits for you to drink that glass of water, but what about prolonged drinking of that water? Year after year after year, drinking from that same glass, they were afraid that that could infect their body and make them sick. And unforgiveness is a lot like that water. We can't drink from the cup of unforgiveness and think that ultimately it won't contaminate our soul. See, allowing even a little unforgiveness, just a small amount, to reside in your heart is an opportunity for your entire body to become infected and be changed. You may be listening today, and maybe your relationship with God isn't healthy. You know, as a pastor, I get to counsel people and spend time talking with people in my office or go have lunch or over the phone. And I hear people tell me about things that have happened that they were believing God for. They were praying over and they were hoping that God would do some prayer that God would answer, some miracle that God would work. And they were really convinced that it was going to happen, and then it didn't. And because it didn't, it really affected them in a very negative way. Maybe you feel like today God let you down. Maybe you have deep-seated disappointment in God. Maybe you have resentment in your heart. Maybe you prayed, and and God didn't come through like you hoped he would. He didn't answer that prayer like you expected him to. And you know you shouldn't feel that way. You know you need to have a healthy relationship with God for you to move forward in life, but it's just been something that's held you back, maybe weeks, months, maybe even years. This is something that's been going on in your heart and in your life. And I want you to know today, church, forgiveness is vital. It's absolutely vital for us to live a healthy, blessed, free life, for us to experience the abundant life that Jesus died for us to have. Forgiveness is about releasing another person and releasing ourselves from offense. So important. You know, here lately, boxing has really been exciting. Did y'all, anybody get to see the Michael Tyson fight? I mean, the Tyson fight. Wow. I mean, you know, he was a big fighter back in the day. And, you know, this was just recently came out, and it was kind of an exhibition fight. And so what it has done is it's kind of got some of these other boxers, you know, like Evander Holyfield and some of these guys that boxed a long time ago, kind of getting them riled up. We might even get to see some more boxing. I like boxing. It's something I really, really enjoy. As a matter of fact, I saw an interview the other day, James Tomey. He was doing a little interview about boxing. James Tomey was a famous welterweight boxer. As a matter of fact, he holds multiple world championships in three weight classes. I mean, he's just an excellent boxer. And this interview that I saw happened many, many years ago. He was a much younger man, and the interviewer was asking him, he said, you know, what motivates you in the ring? When you get in the ring, you have so much passion and you fight with everything that you have. And, you know, what is the thing that motivates you in the ring? And the interviewer, you know, he thought that James Toney would say, well, you know, it's my passion for boxing. It's something I've done since I'm very young. I just really love the sport of boxing. But that wasn't what James Toney said. It was very interesting what James Toney said. James Toney said, my father abandoned me when I was a young boy. And every time that I get in the ring, I see my father's face on every opponent that I fight. And that what gives me the anger and the aggression that I need to win the fight. Here's a man driven by unresolved hurt, bitterness, resentment. You know, many people live like this today, channeling all their energy into resentment, unforgiveness. Instead of walking in love, they allow offense to be the thing that drives their life. Church, I want you to know, forgiveness is vital for us to live free. It's such an important lesson to learn to walk and live the art of forgiveness. Forgiveness is about releasing another person. It's about releasing ourselves from hurt, from mistakes, from offenses. We release our right to get even or pay somebody back for what they did to us years ago. We release people from the debt that we feel that they owe us. We release the resentment. We release the anger. We release the hurt, the bitterness that tries to lodge in our hearts. And we release becoming a victim to a pity party. So important that we learn to forgive. It's important to understand forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a choice. Forgiveness is an act of obedience. It's an act of our will. See, we have to forgive based on that. Not when someday we have some emotion to do so. You know, if you're waiting for a warm, fuzzy feeling to forgive, you may be waiting for a very long time, if ever, if you ever have that feeling. No, forgiveness is an act of obedience to God. Forgiveness isn't about the other person. It's about us. Forgiveness releases God to do a work in our life. That's what forgiveness is about. You have to be careful. I've discovered many times working with people over the years in the ministry, spending time counseling people and talking with them. Here's something that has been very clear to me, and I think it would be important for all of us to understand. Many times we become what we don't forgive. And the thing about generational curses, these things can be passed down from generation to generation to generation. It's important that we know your mate is watching you. Your friends in school are watching you. Your classmates, your employees are watching you as a boss. Your friends are watching you. They're greatly influenced by how you treat other people. Parents, your children are watching you and how you model that in your relationships. Will you be a person that forgives others? Will you be a person that forgives yourself? You can take matters into your own hands, you can, and get your results. Or you can place them in God's hands and let God be the judge. The scripture says it's God's work. God is the one that is to avenge, not us. I encourage you today, leave room for God to move in your life. Don't take matters into your own hands. Give it to God. God's the only one that has the wisdom, the power, and the ability to handle it in the right way. Can I have an amen? Whether you're upset with a friend or a parent or a coworker, a mate, a boss, maybe even God, take time to examine your heart. You know, that's why I'm talking about this at this time of the year. We're coming close to Christmas. We're going to be seeing family, relatives, or maybe not. Been a lot going on this year. There's been a lot of political unrest, a lot of strife, a lot of division. It really has broken my heart to see all the division that's happening in our country, even on our social media streams. Many hope that it'll just go away. Many hope that it'll get better on its own. I meet people and they try to sweep it under the rug and act like that it's not even there. But listen, The longer that you allow unforgiveness to stay buried in your life, the worse it will become. You know, I shared this story several years ago. It's probably been a while since you've heard it, so we have some new people that get to hear this. But I was watching a docuseries on TV, and it was about this tribe in Africa. I believe it was 60 Minutes or some program like that that I saw it on. There was a tribe in Africa, and many people in the tribe were becoming sick. They were dying, and they were very alarmed. They were losing people, and so they were a tribe, you know, they didn't deal with money or you know, anything like that. And so they got some of the men of the tribe together, and they got produce together. They got a couple of goats, and they told them to travel into the town, which was many miles away, and go and seek help. Try to get some expert help to come and help them. And they brought those things as a gift. So these men traveled a great distance. They were gone for well over a week or two. They finally found the help that they needed, and they traveled back and came, and they brought some men who came. And the first thing that they did, they said, "Where's your water supply? We need to check your water." And so there was a stream that flowed into the village, and that's what they used for all their drinking water. So they tested the drinking water right there out of the stream, and sure enough, the water was contaminated. And so they began to question him, "Where does this water come from? Where's the source of this water?" And they said, "Oh, it's way upstream. It's several miles away, but there's a big area where there's a large holding pond that's spring fed, and that's where we get all of our water." And they said, "Well, we're going to have some other experts come." And so several weeks later, some other experts came, and they were scuba divers. And these scuba divers put on their gear, and they dove down into the spring. They went way, way, way down deep, trying to find the source of the problem with this water, because they tested it right there and it was contaminated right at the source. It's really amazing. When they got down to the bottom of this stream, what they saw, they were so surprised. They couldn't believe what they saw at the bottom of this spring. But in the bottom of this spring, right where the water was coming out, was a mother pig and her piglets that had fallen off into the water, drowned, and their bodies were, you know, decaying and rotting. And it was releasing all of this poison right there into that clean source of water, the water that fed the tribe. It was releasing it, and that water was flowing downstream, and everybody was drinking it, and everyone in the village was becoming sick. Once they removed the dead pigs from the water source, the water cleared up, and there were no more problems. Church, the same is true for us. Someone hurt you months ago. Maybe even years ago, someone mistreated you, someone wronged you, but you never took time to release the wound. You never took time to deal with the offense, to give it to God by laying it at the foot of the cross and asking God to forgive, asking God to help you move past this issue in your life. See, just like that stream, we become polluted. Our hearts become contaminated. And it affects every area of our life. It affects people around us. It affects our children. It affects our friends. It affects our coworkers. It's so important that we find that healing in our life. Just like that stream, we become polluted. Our hearts become contaminated. I want to encourage you today, stop dwelling on past hurts. Stop feeding that offense in your life. Stop reliving painful memories. Maybe some of you are reliving painful memories of your childhood growing up. Maybe you grew up in a broken home. Maybe you are reliving painful memories from a relationship that you were in and now you are no longer in. Stop blaming and punishing others. Stop blaming and punishing yourself for mistakes that have been made. Instead, choose forgiveness. It's the key to your freedom. And it's really the only real lasting solution to the issue in your heart. Unforgiveness is a stumbling block. It'll hold you back from God's best. I want to encourage you, remove the dead pigs out of your life. Don't allow them to exist there any longer. Don't let those things be the thing that contaminates your life. When I first came to Arkansas, I was 23 years old, and I had just recently gotten saved. I hadn't been living for the Lord very long, about 3 weeks. Many of y'all have heard my testimony. I grew up in a broken home, a very dysfunctional family. My dad was an alcoholic from as long as I can remember. My dad always drank. And my dad was, you know, kind of a mean drunk. He was abusive. He picked on us kids. He was mean to my mom. You just didn't want to be around him. You wanted to avoid him. And, you know, I had a lot of anger. I had a lot of unforgiveness that had welled up inside of me over the years. As a matter of fact, my parents divorced when I was a teen. And I pretty much cut off my relationship with my father from that point. Now, my dad from time to time would give me money and I would gladly take it, but I would have no relationship with him whatsoever. So this went on for several years, and, you know, I was just a very bitter, hurt person. I think so much of that had everything to do with why I ran from God and I wasn't in a place that I needed to be. Well, fortunately, at 23 years, God showed his favor on me. I had an encounter with the Lord lying in my bed one night, high on cocaine and alcohol. God spoke to my heart and God set me free. And in about 3 weeks, it's amazing, in about 3 weeks, I left Texas and I moved to Arkansas and I started our internship here, Applied Life Leaders Academy, where God really began to repair my heart. God put great people in my life and they began to teach me the art of forgiveness. And there was a very important lesson that I was taught, something that I really didn't understand. And I want to kind of walk you through this because I think a lot of us can identify with what I'm going to tell you. In my mind, I always thought that if my father would come to me and he would apologize for all the hurtful things that he had done, if he would apologize for the abuse, if he would apologize for the neglect, if he would say he was sorry that he wasn't the kind of dad that he shouldn't have been, in my mind, I thought that if he would do that, that everything would be okay. But the only problem with that is that even if my dad were to do something like that, he would wake up tomorrow. He's still the same person. He's still imperfect. He's still going to make mistakes. He still has a carnal nature. He still has habit patterns, vices, addictions. He's doomed to repeat and make more mistakes. And I always thought that if my dad would just do that, that it would fix it. But the fact of the matter is, we often think that if our circumstances were different, we would be different. But really what the issue is, church, it's our heart. It's not that our circumstances need to be different. And what if my dad had said all those things? Like I said, the next day, he's still an imperfect person. He's bound to make mistakes, possibly do the same thing. No, there was a key that I was taught. And I want to share this with you. When Jesus was on the cross, there are 7 sayings that Jesus said. And one of those sayings was this: it, help me, is finished. It is finished. Well, what's finished? Well, the work of redemption. The work of forgiveness is finished. When Jesus uttered those words and he shed his blood, for all time, in that moment, every sin that had ever happened, every sin that was happening, and every sin that ever would happen, in that moment, was forgiven by Jesus on the cross. Can I have an amen? And Jesus said in that moment, it is finished. It's complete. It's done. It's all taken care of. See, that's a concept that I didn't have in my heart. That's a concept that I didn't understand. But when I begin to understand that, I begin to understand that me forgiving my father had nothing to do with him. It had everything to do with me and what Jesus accomplished for me on the cross. Well, that made me a changed person. I was able to lay all that offense, all that hurt, all that disappointment, all that what if. I was able to lay all that at the foot of the cross and give it to Jesus. It's not that I pretended like none of that stuff happened. It obviously did. There's nothing that I can do about that. But what I can do is I can do something about my heart today and the months and years that lie ahead. And so as a result of that, God really released me. God freed me. I began to call my father on the phone, just have a conversation with him. Dad, how's it going? My dad worked in the oil field. He loved the Dallas Cowboys, and he loved deer hunting. So I knew those were 3 topics that I could have conversations with my father over, and I could find some point of interest where we could connect. And so I would call my dad and have these conversations. And I would always make sure at the end of our conversation, they usually weren't very long, but I would always say, Dad, I love you. It was very important for me to say that out of my mouth. because I had not allowed myself to do that for so many years because of the anger, the resentment, the unresolved bitterness that was in my heart. Now, the first many times that I did that over months of time, my dad never said, "I love you" back. But it's really peculiar that as I continued to do that, and each time my dad heard that, a little bit of salt was bringing healing to his soul. And over time, my dad would begin to say, "Well, I love you too." And then by the time many months, even a couple of years had gone by, when I would call my dad, I wasn't the one that said it first. My dad was the one that said it first. I remember setting up a meeting with my father early on in this process, and I went to him and I told him, "Dad, I'm really sorry. I haven't been the kind of son I should have been. I judged you. I didn't love you. I was critical of you. Dad, I'm asking that you forgive me." And my dad, you know, it wasn't like some big deal, and we hugged and we cried. I wasn't really even looking for that. God had already done that work in my heart, but it was important for me to release my father. It was important for me to let my dad know that I don't hold him in a prison of unforgiveness, unwilling to allow him to be anything different than what I had imposed on him. No, I wanted to set him free. See, that's what forgiveness is. Forgiveness is about setting someone free. As a matter of fact, the word forgiveness means to release. And the word unforgiveness means to imprison. And so I released my father. It's amazing what God began to do in my dad's life. My dad wasn't a believer. He didn't follow the Lord. But I really believe that that event and me beginning to bridge those connections with my father acted as a catalyst for God to begin to move in my dad's life. And ultimately, over a period of time, my dad got born again. He lived way out in the country. I was praying for my father. This little family that lived out there, a pastor, preached at a little bitty church. His family came and saw my dad. Their little boy, he was 14 years old. He played the guitar and led worship at their church. He asked my dad, he brought his guitar, asked my dad, "Can I play my guitar for you?" My dad said, "Sure." My dad really liked this little boy. God used this little boy to soften this grown man's heart who had been a bitter alcoholic for many years. Well, this happened for a period of time, and my dad started going to this little country church. And my dad developed throat cancer during that time. They gave him 6 months to live. So as this process was happening, my dad lived for 4 years. 4 years, gave him 6 months. My dad lived for 4 years. And during that 4 years, many of the relationships with my other siblings and my father were healed. God did great things in my dad's life. Now, my dad was still rough around the edges, absolutely. But my dad had a relationship with his children. My dad came to know the Lord. And my dad will be in eternity in heaven one day when I go and visit him when my time comes. So I want to encourage you. Forgiveness is very, very important. It can free someone. It can deliver them. It can set them free. Now you have to understand, when you choose to forgive, the devil, he's not going to let it be easy. He's not going to say, "Oh, sure, everything's going to be great." No, as a matter of fact, I want to rewind just a little bit of that story, because when I went through that process and I forgave my father, I remember when my wife and I were engaged, we were getting ready to be married, and we had a mobile home that I was sitting in. We didn't have any furniture in it yet. I was getting it ready for us to move into. And I remember calling my father on the phone and inviting my dad to the wedding. I told him it was very important that he was here. As a matter of fact, I even wanted my dad to be my best man. Well, when I called my dad up, lo and behold, my dad said, "I'm not coming. I'm not coming to that. I'll just be in the way. I'm not going to come." And I tried to convince him. I pleaded with him to come, but he was certain he wasn't coming. I remember hanging up the phone, hurt. My wife was right there with me on the floor. Tears began to flow down my face. I was so hurt. I was so upset. And I heard the devil say in my ear, "See, nothing's changed." But then all of a sudden, the power and the Spirit of God began to rise up within me. And I said to myself, "No, everything's changed. I've changed." And see, the anointing of God's forgiveness, the anointing of God's grace, that it began to flow down the top of my head, all the way down my body. I just felt this warmth come all over me from God's forgiveness, from God's healing in my life. And there wasn't one place that the devil could get a hold of and get his talons in me. He just slipped right off of me because I was free. See, that's the way God wants us to live. Free. Free. Free to love people. Free to forgive. Free to walk in the joy that God has for us. I want to take a moment as we end our time together here. We're getting ready to move into the holiday seasons. We're going to be seeing family. We're going to be seeing people that we haven't seen in a long time. Not to mention the fact that 2020 has been a very challenging year for all of us. 2,000 years ago, Jesus came to pay a debt that we couldn't pay. As a matter of fact, we were utterly helpless to pay it. There's no possible way. And Jesus canceled our debt by dying on the cross. Jesus canceled our debt by spilling his blood and making new life available for us. Forgiveness was achieved through Jesus. Jesus did for us what we didn't deserve. Jesus did it for us even maybe when we were in a lost state and we didn't appreciate it. Jesus did that for us. You know, to me, Jesus modeled on the cross how he wants us to live. Remember when Jesus' accusers were blaspheming him, saying all kinds of harmful things about him? And oh, Jesus, he just walked in forgiveness. Jesus, he accomplished the Father's mission. Jesus lived by love. Jesus didn't live by hurt. Jesus didn't live by pain. Jesus didn't live by resentment. Jesus didn't live by unforgiveness. No, Jesus lived by love. Love absorbed the push. When the world pushes you, when it tells you, oh, don't forgive, be mad, be angry, they deserve it, they did wrong, I hope they get what they have coming to them. No, Jesus absorbed the push. And in light of that truth, I want to ask you something today. Now, it's going to take God's help. But I want to ask you, will you release that person in your life from the wound that they inflicted on you? Will you release yourself from the mistake that you made, how you missed the mark, maybe some sin in your life that you can't seem to overcome? Will you forgive yourself? You know, we made the communion elements available to you. We asked you to kind of take those to your seat with you before the church service started. And those of you that are joining us online, you may not have those elements with you, but we're just going to ask you to participate with us. If you'll bring the lights down this morning, we're going to bring a little worship music up. I want to take just a few minutes with you and give you an opportunity to examine your heart. We're here. We've got a few minutes left here. Let's just take a moment. What is it in your heart? What area in your life can you forgive? And we all have areas that we can, whether it be ourselves or another person, maybe a mate, maybe a friend, maybe a coworker. I don't know who it is. But let's just take a moment here together. Let's just bow our heads and let's allow God to minister healing in our lives. Father, we thank you that you have forgiven us of all our sins. And Lord, we thank you that you've empowered us through your grace to release others from unforgiveness. So, Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit will help us today. Help us, God, to live a life that pleases you, free from the control of other people, free from the control of hurt, bitterness, resentment, disappointment. Maybe you're here today and you need to forgive God. I encourage you to do so. It's important that your relationship with God is strong and healthy and whole. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after he took the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." You know, this is the Lord's body and this is his blood. This is symbolic. It represents it. It gives us a way of connecting with what Jesus did. The scripture goes on to say, and I think it's so important, in verse 27, it says, "So then, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." That's why I said it's so important that we examine our hearts before we partake of the body and the blood of Jesus. It's important what we're doing here. We're identifying with what Jesus did. We're remembering his sacrifice. We're letting God know that what Jesus did was real. It was important. It was powerful. And we identify with it. So if you'll just peel back that first part and take your wafer out. Father, we recognize that this represents your body that was broken on the cross. Your body that brings healing and deliverance in our life. Lord, we partake of this, confessing our sins, asking you, God, to forgive us of all wrongs, and knowing, God, that 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, Lord, we partake of your body together in Jesus' name. In the same way, we're going to partake of the juice that is symbolic of the blood of Jesus. Jesus held the cup up and he said, "This is symbolic of my blood for the forgiveness of sins." Jesus, we thank you as we identify with the shedding of your blood for the forgiveness of our sins. We drink this in remembrance of you. Before we're done, I want to ask you to stand. Just stand with me this morning. God, we thank you that you've empowered us by your grace to forgive, to release hurts, wrongs suffered, wounds. God, thank you today that you've given us that power. And Father, I pray if there's anybody in this room at the sound of my voice or those listening by live stream or on podcast that doesn't know you, God, I pray that they'll ask you today to be their Lord and Savior. As a matter of fact, church, let's just all pray this prayer together. Repeat after me, "Lord Jesus, I need you. Please forgive me of my sins. Wash them all away with your precious blood. I repent of wrongdoing. I believe you rose from the dead. You are the Son of God. Lord Jesus, I thank you that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life." Now, Father, we thank you today. And if you prayed that prayer today, if you're here with us or if you're online listening or by podcast and you prayed that prayer, you can know that you're born again. And it's very important that you get in a church that is teaching and preaching the Word. We have a great church right here. The Word is being preached. It's a great place for you to grow, but maybe you're from out of town and you're not in a position where you can do that. I want to encourage you to get in a good Bible-believing church where you can grow. God wants you to grow in your relationship with Him. Let's just lift our hands to heaven. Father, today we thank you. God, we praise you. Lord, we're joyful and excited about this season, the season of the birth of Jesus, our Savior. Oh man, Jesus, we're so thankful to you for all that you've done, all that you've accomplished. And we recognize you as Lord and King over all the earth. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for laying down your life. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving us. There's nothing that we can do to ever repay you, Jesus. But Lord, we want to live a life worthy of our calling. God, help us to honor you each and every day as we walk in love and we live a life that pleases the Father. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen.
You have been listening to the CMC Podcast. For more information about CMC, our different conferences, Christian school, college internship, resources, and more, go to cmchurch.com.